सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। ॐ मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts, and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.
We have been studying Viveka Chudamani, or First Jewel of Discrimination by Shankara. I am meeting after quite a lapse of time. I hope you do remember what you have already studied.
But anyway, today what we are going to read is very important and very interesting. Here he is trying to describe the true nature of the Atman. But after we read what he says about the true nature of the Atman, in a negative way, what Atman is not. And that is the first thing that we should try to understand. What that is, as he states some positive way, it is very difficult to grasp. Not only it is difficult to grasp, it's impossible to grasp. As Shankara himself pointed out, that this Atman, that is one with Brahman, is to be realized, is to be experienced. The mind, the intellect cannot grasp it. And then again, in order that we may not misunderstand what this Atman, which is one with Brahman, what that is, so he's trying to clear up some of our misunderstandings. Now again, in this connection, before we proceed, I'll try to explain to you the difference between God as we understand. The word God is used. And Brahman. There is a distinction, but it is the one and the same reality. And when we say God, we mean only personal being, a personal reality, personal God. And Brahman means impersonal Brahman. Now I am making this distinction to point out that the Atman, the self within, is one with Brahman, the impersonal being. But this Atman is not one with God. You see, when they say it is a blasphemy to think that I am God, there is some truth in that. Now, let me give you the distinction. Brahman, when we talk of Brahman, or that impersonal reality, there is no universe. No you and I. The name and form, if you analyze this whole universe, it's nothing but name and form. Take away the name and form. But of course, you see, it's not to be conceived by the human mind. We have to transcend this mind, we have to transcend the senses to reach that impersonal Brahman. Now, what is the personal being, personal God? that same impersonal reality, when we consider him as the creator of this universe. He creates, he preserves, and unto him this universe dissolves. When you consider this universe, or Brahman in relation to this universe, and relation to us individual souls, then he is a personal God. With attributes. Personal God does not mean necessarily that he is with form. He is without form. He is with form, he is without form. But personal God means God with attributes, with divine qualities. When you come to impersonal Brahman, there is no attribute. That's something inexpressible, inconceivable, cannot be meditated upon, because when you meditate, there is a duality. And so that is a matter of experience. Now again, what is the individual soul? What are you and me? You see, Brahman, with the power, what we call Maya Shakti, the power to create, preserve, dissolve this universe, that Maya Shakti has become this universe. What we call mind and matter, they are expressions of that power of Brahman, unfoldment of that power of Brahman. Just as the spider brings out thread. So out of himself, out of his power, he has brought out this universe, he dwells in this universe, and again he withdraws this universe unto himself. That is the personal God. Now what about you and me? We are also Brahman, but a part of that power, Shakti. Now again, here is the difference. The personal God has this whole power, universal power. And he is the ruler of that power. He is the master of that power. He is the master of his prakriti, of his Shakti. And you and I, with that little Shakti that has covered us, the Atman, we are ruled by this power. For instance, this body, the mind, senses, all these are manifestations or expressions of prakriti, three gunas, which is again one with Brahman. But as these three gunas make up our body, mind, senses, etc., we are bound by these gunas. We are subject to the moods of the mind. We are subject to the conditions of our body. We are subject to the passions that arise in the mind and the senses. You see, we are slaves to this power. But Brahman, personal God, is not a slave, he is a master. So again, try to understand that when you say Atman is Brahman, I am Brahman, of course saying does not mean anything. But this means when the universe has disappeared, when you are no longer conscious of your body, mind, senses, etc., etc., then you are one with Brahman. Until you reach that, you have to practice spiritual disciplines. And when you practice spiritual disciplines, you are still within Maya. You see, all the teachings, even the scriptures, they are all within Maya. All spiritual disciplines are within Maya. But this Maya again has two powers, two separate powers as it were. One is called Vidya, another is called Avidya. That is, one that leads you beyond Maya, and another that creates a greater bondage for you. So, scriptures are Vidya Maya that lead you to Brahman. All your spiritual disciplines, meditation, prayer, and everything within Vidya Maya, and they lead you beyond Maya. And we are attached to the body, mind, senses, etc. We can't help it. The very intellectual man and the ignorant man, all same in the same level of consciousness from that standpoint. You know, this reminds me. One time, a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna told me, he went to visit some place for pilgrimage, and then there was a fake. And this faker was showing that he went to Samadhi. And so this Swami said, well, I took a pin and just jabbed him. So as long as you have the physical consciousness, you see, no. When Samadhi comes, when you realize Aham Brahmasmi, when you realize that thou art, fire cannot burn you, water cannot drench you, you see. You will not know. And so, that point we should remember. And now again, this personal God and impersonal Brahman are not two beings again, two separate beings. The one reality, to give the illustration as Ramakrishna gave, this snake lying still and then again moving. So impersonal Brahman is lying still, no creation, this whole thing has disappeared. And then he is creating, he is preserving. Then that is personal reality. And you see, it is a personal God again, is therefore not anything separate from the impersonal, only two aspects. Of course, from one aspect, from this personal aspect, we cannot say, I am one with him. Here again, another point. It's a very philosophical point. You see, as you meditate upon God, no matter, and of course you cannot meditate upon impersonal Brahman, you see. It's beyond meditation. When you meditate upon God, in any aspect, say with form or without form, you see, has divine attributes. And what you meditate upon, you imbibe the attributes of such. So, you get all the divine attributes and divine powers. Now then, the question arises, does the illumined soul, who has all the divine attributes and divine powers, does he get the power to create? The answer there is that no. There, God is very careful. He does not give you that power, because what will happen? Suppose you attain illumination, I attain illumination, you have the divine attributes, I have the divine attributes, and then I get the notion I must create. And then you get the notion you must dissolve this universe. You see, there will be chaos. And so God reserves that power. And that power that God has That is really the definition of a personal God. Now let us see. He says, now I shall tell you the nature of the Atman. He's going to give us, try to make us understand what this nature of the Atman is. If you realize it, so you see, he points out, if you realize it, that is, you have to experience it, you'll be freed from the bonds of ignorance and attain liberation. You see, it is just like this. The room is dark for centuries. And you light, bring a light, that darkness immediately vanishes. Similarly, when this Atman becomes realized, and it can be realized in a flash, in a moment, and that very moment, all the ignorance, all bondages, you are just fall away from you. Completely, forever and ever. You see, one time I pointed out to you, I remember, that any experience, say, of the senses, pleasure or pleasurable or painful, you may forget. Though the experience is creates an impression in your mind, but still it may go into the unconscious. You may not remember it. But real experience, vision, or ecstasy, or samadhi, you see, once you get it, you don't forget it. It lives with you. And it brings transformation in you. And of course, you see, this is I am saying on the path. You see, it's interesting. On the path, you can see God separate, not one. You can talk to Him. Don't you see, no, Sri Ramakrishna talking to Mother all the time. And then, you see, all this can be described. But then again, when you realize the impersonal Brahman and Atman, then there is silence, complete silence. That experience is never can be brought down, can be expressed. Now, in this connection, again, as Shankara has pointed out very definitely how this is attained. He says, the wise man, when the wise man reaches this highest state, that is transcending the waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep states, in which, and he describes this, in which consciousness of subject and object is dissolved away. You see, I see this, I know this. When there is no longer any such distinction between the subject and the object. You see, as long as there is a distinction, the perfect knowledge is not there. It is still, though, higher knowledge, but still not the knowledge of the absolute reality. Not the knowledge of the total reality, in which consciousness of subject and object is dissolved away, and the infinite unitary consciousness alone remains. And he knows the bliss of nirvana while still living on earth. You know, quite a few times, Maharaj said, my master, he said, not ananda, not bliss, no, you have to go beyond bliss also. We cannot conceive that. Maharaj mentioned that. I remember very clearly. Ananda, Ananda, no, go beyond Ananda. And there is one great seer philosopher, and I have read him, and he was the only one that has said to go beyond Ananda also. And that was the great guru of this philosopher Shankara, Gaudapada. That was his name. But of course, no use talking about it, because really you don't know what it is. But here, if you realize it, and you know you are Brahman, you will be freed from the bonds of ignorance and attain liberation. Then he says, there is a self-existent reality. You see, what does it mean? It's not created. You see, God did not create that Atman. He created the individual man, yes. He's the creator of this universe. But this reality is Brahman itself. Self-existent reality. And that is in us, within us. Because that is the basis of our consciousness of ego. I am this ego, that I am a self-conscious being. This, because of that eternal, unchangeable consciousness within me, and which is that self-existent reality, Brahman. You see, to give you a definite idea, Atman identified with the non-Atman, that is the mind, senses, intellect, brings the idea of ego. The sense of ego that we have is a false idea, arising from this identification between the Atman and the non-Atman, between the self and the non-self, gives rise to this consciousness of ego. But this is important. This self-consciousness, this consciousness of ego that we have, is a very important factor. Without that self-consciousness, we cannot transcend the self-consciousness. You see, for instance, in the lower animals, there has not yet arisen that self-consciousness, that sense of ego. And it has to, that's involved there, not evolved. In man, it is evolved. And then, as it is evolved in man, then again, he has to transcend this ego to realize his identity with Brahman, to realize his own true being. Then again he says, the reality, that is that Brahman, that Atman, is the witness of the three states of our consciousness. Just try to understand that. He is the witness of the three states of consciousness. But not identified with the three states of consciousness. And as such, within these three states of consciousness, you cannot know him. You see, the eyes see the objects. And as long as the eyes see the objects, the eyes cannot see themselves. So he is a witness. And so, you don't know him. He is the knower. And how can the knower know himself? Not within these three states of consciousness. As long as he is a knower of this object and that object. But when you realize him, he is the knowledge itself. And is distinct from the five bodily coverings. Distinct from the five bodily coverings. He has already explained what we have already studied. The five bodily coverings, sheaths. Annamaya, this made up of food, physical sheath, this body, is a sheath. Then pranamaya, what expresses vital energy, that's a sheath. Then manomaya, the mind. Vijnanamaya, the intellect. Anandamaya, the ego. These are different sheaths covering the Atman. And the Atman identified with these sheaths remains in bondage. And we have to realize that Atman is distinct from these sheaths. You have to realize that. Now, for instance, you may say, I am not the body, I am not the mind. But as I say, if I prick you with a pin, when you say you are not the body, you just jump. So, you are still the body. And so you have to go through disciplines, through spiritual disciplines and struggles, by giving up the cravings and desires of the body. That reality is the knower in all states of consciousness, waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep. It is aware of the presence or absence of the mind and its functions. It is the Atman. You see, it says presence and absence of the functions of the mind. For instance, when you are in deep sleep, the mind is not functioning. But he, the Atman, is awake. You know, one time, Swami Adbhutananda, Laktu Maharaj, a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, he was massaging the head of Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna asked him, Laktu, can you tell me if God sleeps? And Laktu answered, how do I know? You tell me. Then he said, God never sleeps. Because if he sleeps, the whole universe becomes dissolved away. Is always awake. Similarly, that God, that Brahman within us, never sleeps. And you know, another disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Subodhananda, whom we called Khoka Maharaj, he used to be known as Baby always. We also called him Baby Maharaj. And he said to me one time, that, you know, I can see the Atman as completely separate from these sheaths. No, it's not attached at all. It's completely separate. And here is one illustration, you know. In our worship, ritual worship, we offer grass. And you know, that grass is something you can take out the part, one part, without hurting the grass itself. They can be separated. They are separate. You see, that grass is offered to remind us of the Atman as completely separate from the body, senses, mind, etc. And you can, in your consciousness, not you and I can do it. You have to reach samadhi to do it. That reality sees everything by its own light. No one sees it. It gives intelligence to the mind and the intellect, but no one gives it light. You see that the mind is intelligent, or that we have this sense of discrimination in us. Whose light is that? That is the light of the Atman. So you know the mind, how the mind is functioning, how the intellect is functioning, but we don't know the light itself, the consciousness itself. That reality pervades the universe, but no one penetrates it. It alone shines. The universe shines with its reflected light. You see, when you realize that Atman, see what is the nature of that Atman? All pervading. I am everywhere. Not cooped up within this body. I am the self in every one of you. I am the self in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. I am the self of this universe. You see, that is the experience. No, you are not cooped up within this body. Well, may I invite questions?
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. Swami, it seems that one has to be a spiritual giant to realize these truths.
Of course you have to be a spiritual giant.
But how can ordinary people like us realize?
Where is ordinary people? We are all extraordinary people. No, because the Atman is there. We are using that light. And so, as long as you have this ego in you, self-consciousness, which is very important, now you have to transcend that. And then again, you see, as I said, you can't meditate upon the impersonal. But only the personal aspect you meditate upon. And that is you, ego. You see? As long as we are praying, we are meditating, so long, you see, we are separate. And so there is that power. And we are invoking that power of Brahman, that power of God. Meditating, worshipping, praying. And then, you see, there is the grace. And that grace removes the ignorance and leads you to the highest. So, we don't have the power to realize God. No. How can we realize God? Only through grace. You see, you read the Upanishads, you read the lives of all great teachers, prophets, sons of God, you read all the non-dualist teachers and all that, they will always say, through the grace of God, through the grace of Brahman. But in order that you can get that grace, you have to struggle to open yourself up to that grace. You see? As Ramakrishna said, yearn with a longing heart. And then also, you have to be interested in God. And what does that mean? You have to learn to love God. And as you think of God, I mean only personal God, you can't think of the impersonal, which is also the same as impersonal after all. No distinction is there. So pray to Him to show His grace, to reveal His grace. Pray to Him that you can love Him. And then He will clear the path for you. In His eyes, there is no sin or anything. You see, you come to Him, you are bathed and purified. So don't say you are ordinary. No human being is ordinary. Every human being has the right.
But Swami, if you attain samadhi in this life, can you function in the world? Wouldn't people think that something was wrong with you?
Did they think there was something wrong with Christ or Buddha or Krishna or Ramakrishna? Why should they think something? Why should you? Do you think you'll go crazy or what? When you realize God, that doesn't mean you get two horns or you go crazy. You see, they are the most. I have seen men of God who have realized. I've lived with them. I had the blessed fortune to serve them, to worship them. I had that blessed fortune. And what did we find? What is it that attracted me to them? Their common sense. Most normal people. They are the only normal people. Now, come on, ask something.
Swami, when Swami Turiyananda had that operation,
yeah,
and he was able to raise his consciousness so that he didn't feel it, he was still able to talk to people around him.
Yes. True, very true. Yeah.
It is difficult to understand that.
That's it's difficult to understand. You see, that's what I tell you what happened to me. I was talking about the visions and experiences of God. And I said, only when you have samadhi you experience God. How can you have this consciousness and can talk to God and see God? And Maharaj heard me arguing that way. So he comes out and says, ah, I see you have become omniscient. Then I said, do you mean to say that with these physical eyes we can see God? He said, show me the line of demarcation where matter ends and spirit begins. You see, their whole being has changed. Their whole view of life has changed. They have a divine sight. They have the eye of the spirit. And so they can function here and at the same time they can function there. Say something we can't understand. No, until we have it for ourselves. Those are very high states, you see.
If you say creation is beginningless and endless, how can you say creation?
We don't say creation. That's an English word we have to use. You don't understand the word srishti. And you have no English equivalent to that word.
So would you say creation is going on continuously?
Sure. In a way, we can use the word projection. He projected this universe out of himself.
We are supposed to see God everywhere. But what do you do about people in whom it is hard to see God?
First, learn to see God in yourself. first have the vision opened up.
Then if one can't accept themselves, then they can't find God in themselves?
What do you mean?
Well, if one is very critical of themselves, finding fault with themselves...
Well, they're finding fault with their body, mind, senses and all that. They're not finding fault with God.
How can you find God if you find fault in yourself?
That's too bad. Of course you cannot find God. Who says you can find God when you are criticizing everybody and you are finding fault with everybody? How can you find God? No, you are too busy sitting, tasting the flesh, the sore spots of the flesh.
This morning I noticed the word Mahamaya.
Oh, yes.
The Divine Mother.
This is the Divine Mother, yes.
And in a way, we are so close and yet so far, far away.
No, we are not far. We are far away through ignorance. We are with our eyes closed. Open your eyes and she is very near. Nearer than the nearmost. Farther than the farthest.
Is there anything in Vedanta literature that corresponds to the Christian's description of the dark night of the soul?
Christian description, it is not in the scriptures, Christian scriptures, the description of the dark night of the soul. Christ never spoke of the dark night of the soul. But of course I understand some of these mystics went through the dark night of the soul. Yes. Many individuals, many spiritual aspirants have to go through, but it doesn't mean that everybody has to go through. And don't look forward to the dark night of the soul.
It's really what holds our attention in life, isn't it? Our attention has to be directed toward God all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. As often as you can, think of God and pray earnestly. Say, I want to love you. I don't have any love. Give me love. Help me to love you. Help me to think of you. See? Open the door, knock and knock. A disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Sivananda, who became president after Maharaj. And he said at one time, you see, all these disciples taught us to pray for devotion and knowledge. And this Swami Sivananda told us, make that prayer constant. Sahanabhavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavīryam karavāvahai, tejasvinavatitamastu, Ma vid visha bhai. Om. May Brahman protect us. May he guide us. May he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.